Good morning, everybody. I'm going to point you to Ephesians chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to point you there in your thinking about the manifold wisdom of God. That's a phrase that's found in Ephesians chapter 3 in talking about the church. The church is the manifold wisdom of God. The word manifold means varied. In other words, there's all kinds of aspects of God's wisdom that is displayed or made manifest in the church. So when you think about that, you know, you end up thinking all kinds of things about how wise God has been in establishing the church as he established it. Jesus is the builder of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. The church is the people of God. The church, if you want to look at it on the broadest perspective, is all the people of God who ever lived. Both dead and alive, all in the one group, because that's really what the word church means. It means group or congregation or assembly. So in us here at Middleburg, God's wisdom is made manifest. And I see that all the time. I think about that all the time, how blessed we are to have each other, to encourage one another, to worship together, to experience all of the joy and happiness of being with God. God is with us, and we share that. Daryl, if you said that one more time, I was going to count up to about 100. I think we got the message. God is with us, and I'm going to continue with that. And I may say it 5 or 10 more times during the lesson today, because that is the key to make sure that God is with us. So we're going to talk today about this subject, and we're going to try to give respect to the wisdom of God in the way he ordained the church to be structured. And so about a few months ago or so, elders were appointed in this congregation, and that was to set in order what was lacking. Titus chapter 1 says, when Paul wrote to Titus, he said, set in order what is lacking. Appoint elders in every city. So part of God's wisdom is for shepherds, elders, overseers to shepherd the flock of God among them, to watch out for, to oversee, to lead and help us all to get to heaven. That's part of God's wisdom. It's the manifold wisdom of God as displayed in the church. And so now we have elders in the congregation here, which is good. We haven't had elders for, I think, 16 years or so here, and there's been something lacking. And so we're blessed. We're very happy about that. But God also, in his order, has this office of deacons. And it's a different office. It's a different word, of course. Elders are overseers. The word deacon means servant. In fact, the word deacon is a made-up word. It's an English word we made up. Because in the Greek, it's the same word for the word servant. So everywhere you see the word servant in the Greek, you don't translate it deacon. You translate it servant. Well, a deacon is just a servant, but he's an official servant in the church. It's part of God's wisdom. And we had, let me say this first. Those two verses that you see in yellow up there, Philippians 1 and verse 1 and 1 Timothy 3 verses 8 through 13, that's the length of it. That's the depth of it. That's all that God has said about deacons. Those two verses, Philippians 1 and verse 1, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. He said, to the saints which are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. He just acknowledged the fact that deacons existed in the church there at Philippi. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, after Paul gives qualifications of elders in the first 7 verses, he then moves to the qualifications of deacons. And so deacons have certain qualifications that they must meet before they are appointed in the church. And that is the extent of specific mentioning of the office of deacons. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles there, we're going to look at that passage of Scripture because it's a good example, it's a prototype of what later would become the office of deacon. When you say prototype, I mean it's a view, it's an image of what the early church was doing that would later be completely fulfilled by God in the office of deacon. So it's not a binding example, it is a prototype. It's something that God has shown forth that would occur later. So, if you want to look in Acts chapter 6 with me, we're going to explore the idea of why deacons are needed in the church. Why is there an office called deacon? In Acts chapter 6, you have the example of the church there discovering or finding out that there was a work that needed to be done that wasn't being done. So in verse 1, it says that there was a complaint that was occurring on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So just to look at that more carefully, you've got this group of Hellenistic Jews, people that have come to Jerusalem from distant countries that have stayed there in Jerusalem. After they were converted to Christ, after they become Christians, they stayed in Jerusalem and sat at the apostles' feet and learned the teaching of the apostles. And so they were from other countries. They were Jews, but they were from other countries. And so they were being overlooked in the daily service of food. So the church was engaged in helping people to eat to sustain themselves. The church had a work there that was providing for the food for these people to eat because they'd come from distant countries and didn't have a way of providing for themselves. So this was a work of the church collectively together to make sure that these people got provided for. And so these Hellenistic Jews their widows were being overlooked. So there's an example there of a little bit of bias, no doubt, a little bit of prejudice, a little bit of partiality that was occurring in the church. At least that's what it seems like. That's what it sounds like to me. That was happening. And so the apostles said, we've got to fix this. And so in verse 2, the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. It's all through this section you see the emphasis on preaching and teaching the word of God. The apostles said, we can't move away from that to take care of serving tables. We've got to preach and teach the word of God, which emphasizes what the primary work of the church is that Jesus built. To preach and to teach. It's the pillar and support of the truth, Paul told Timothy. And so the primary work of the church is to teach and preach the word of God. Now, there may come needs that occur amongst the brethren that require serving of tables. And the apostles said, well, that's not what we want to spend our time on. That's not what God wants. And so let's find men who are able to oversee this work or manage this work. And we will appoint them over that work. It needs to be done. And so they did that. And so the responsibility, as we learn from the scriptures and other passages of scripture, the responsibility that elders have primarily is the shepherding of souls and the oversight of the work of the church. They focus on teaching and counseling and praying and leading. But there's other work that needs to be done in the church that they don't need to be spending their time on. And so deacons is an office in the church. The word, remember, means servant. And so like other members, deacons may preach, teach, They may even shepherd souls, not officially as an elder, of course, but just as a Christian. They may do all of those things, but the work that they're appointed to do by the church, the office that they fill, is to manage the needs delegated to them by the elders in support of the overall work of the church. So that's the prototype that we see in Acts chapter 6. There's work that needs to be done. The apostles didn't want to take time away from their important work of preaching and teaching, and so they asked the church to look out amongst themselves for men who would be able to manage. He said, we will appoint them over this work. So that's our information. That is the extent of the information that we have in the scriptures about the work of deacons. And so we had three Bible studies. The men did three months in a row on deacons. And you think, well, these are the only scriptures that deal with deacons. How did you have three Bible studies on deacons? And I think the reason for that and the benefit of that and what came out of that, which was so valuable, is that we were able to think through all these different issues in terms of God's wisdom and try to discern what God wanted. Did he want us as a church here to appoint deacons? Our answer was absolutely yes. God wants deacons. Otherwise, there wouldn't be qualifications given. There wouldn't have been deacons at Philippi. If there's work to be done, then God wants deacons. And so that was our decision, was to then proceed in the process of appointing deacons in the congregation to do the work that God would have us to do. And we had some really great Bible discussions about what that work might look like and some of the issues involved in that work. This was the question that came up, not a question really, but just an observation. You see in Acts chapter 6 that these deacons were appointed. Actually, the word deacon there is never used in Acts 6, so I misstated that. These servants, which were appointed by the church, they were never called deacons. The noun is not used there in Acts 6, but they are a prototype of what would later become the office of deacons. You can see that they were put in charge of this task. Now, I want you to think about the context. How many men are in Jerusalem at this time in the church? Well, we're told 5,000, and the number is increasing. And then you have men and you have women and children as well. So you have, 10, 15,000 people in the church at Jerusalem. There's no way that the apostles knew all these men. There's no way that they knew all of them. So what they did was they said to the church, you look out from amongst yourselves and you find seven men who meet these qualifications, and we will appoint them over this task. And so how much work needed to be done in this task? Well, we don't know for certain, but it's very likely that these seven men were not able to do it all themselves. They were placed over the task. And so they managed that work, and they got a bunch of other people, no doubt, to help them to do that work. And so I think we need to understand that with deacons, it's not that people stop working and then the deacons start working. It's that everybody is working together, perhaps even more when you appoint deacons. Because think about this. Deacons who now have been placed over a work have a position, an office, a function, a work that's been assigned to them. And they can come to you and they can say, hey, I need your help. And because you're respecting that position, that office, that work that needs to be done, that God in His wisdom has set up, you're eager to help in whatever way the deacons would ask you to help. So it's very possible and likely, and maybe should be in a church, that when you appoint deacons, it's not that people stop working and the deacons start doing it all. It's just the opposite. And here's another observation. All of this work that we're going to be talking about this morning in the next few minutes is already being done. There are people in this church, lots and lots and lots of people who are working to get this work done already and have been doing it for many, many years. And so it's not like we're discovering a new work that needs to be done. We're just observing here's the work that is being done, that does need to be done, and it's already being done. by all these people. And now we're looking at men who would be put in charge of that so that the elders don't have to oversee in detail all of that individual work that's being done. And so I put Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 up there. Service is a blessing. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so with deacons in the congregation, perhaps you'll be invited to receive a blessing by serving and giving of yourself even more than you have in the past. And then here's another observation that we made. When we have deacons here in this congregation, when we find men who are qualified to do the work and we appoint them over it, we have a duty to these men, just like we have a duty to elders to subject ourselves to elders and to their oversight and watching over souls. So are we to subject ourselves to deacons in that sense. Not that they're doing that same work, but the work that they're doing, we are to subject ourselves to them. 1 Corinthians 16, I think, is very important, just simply because it includes not just elders, but it includes all leaders in a congregation. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 and 16, he says, "Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer." So it's not just elders that we are subject to. We are subject to deacons as well, to every fellow worker and laborer. In fact, if you want to broaden that even further, what does Ephesians 5 and verse 21 say? All of us be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So the idea of subjection, subjecting ourselves to others, is taught throughout the Scriptures. And so let's cooperate with them, let's encourage them, and let's help them in their work. Next week, we're going to look at the qualifications of deacons. Didn't have time this morning because I wanted to talk about the work that actually is being done in the congregation in the next few minutes. But why are there qualifications given? I think the answers are pretty evident, that the work itself requires character and proven ability. And so Paul gave qualifications. Don't appoint men who are not men of character and proven ability. In 1 Timothy 3, he says, "Let them first be tested, and then let them serve." And so these men must have already demonstrated the proven character and the ability to manage the work. And as far as character goes, you can understand that is important in somebody who holds a position or an office. Do you think it's important for your evangelist to be known as one of good character? Is it important for your elders to be known of good character? Is it important for deacons to be known as men of good character? Why? Because they represent the church in many respects. That's the way they're viewed by people, as representatives. And they are, officially, in a sense, representatives of the church. And so let them be men of good character, particularly, lest shame be brought upon the church. And then we discuss this question: how are deacons appointed? And again, we've already identified the fact that it just says there are deacons in the church. No specific instructions whatsoever about how to appoint deacons. Acts chapter 6 is not about deacons per se. It's about servants in that particular work. And the qualifications that are given in Acts chapter 6 are different from the qualifications that are given in 1 Timothy 3. Not only that, as we've already observed, in a church of over 5,000 men, the apostles could not have known all the men. And so Acts 6 is a prototype. It's not a binding example. We learn a lot from this occasion, but the specifics are not binding. And so I say that to say this, is that we as a church are going to appoint men. If we have men who are qualified, and Daryl and I believe that we do have men who are qualified, we're going to appoint men as deacons. What's the process for going about that appointment? And we discuss that. There's really not much information about that in the Scriptures, other than the church needs to approve. The church needs to be able to approve these men and receive and accept these men as deacons. And so you know, the way we chose to do it was first and foremost to identify the areas of responsibility that we have in this congregation collectively. Divide it up into areas of responsibility and then say, all right, what's the work that needs to be done? Because until you identify the work that needs to be done, how do you know what you need to manage it? And so we started out thinking in terms of one deacon might be over Bible classes on Sunday and Wednesday, including teacher selection and training, and might be included in that helping out with the support of evangelists, evaluating new opportunities to support evangelists, being responsible for the communication between evangelists that we support, and just kind of managing that and then reporting to the elders. And that way the elders can focus on teaching and preaching and counseling and shepherding and know that the work of identifying needs of supported evangelists is being done, and they receive that information then and then can oversee that particular work. So we thought that that work's already being done. We already have that work being done in the congregation, so we simply identified that as work that needs to be managed. And then we thought there'd be another deacon. You see, like the apostles, they said, select 7 men. That's what they decided was needed, 7 men. So we're thinking, let's figure out what the work is, and then let's select however many men we need. We're not thinking in terms of, all right, let's go find every man in the congregation that might meet these qualifications in 1 Timothy 3. We're thinking, here's the work that needs to be done. Let's find men that can oversee and manage that work. So it may be that there are other men in the congregation that meet the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 and don't become deacons because we don't need them at this point. So that was our thinking on that. Let's identify the work. And so part of the work of the church is to be engaged in helping those who are needy, like those widows in Acts chapter 6 were in need of help, physical help. And so 7 men were placed over that task of making sure that they were taken care of. Well, we live in America, and obviously America is a prosperous country. And so benevolence amongst ourselves is not as prevalent a matter as it might have been amongst the church in Jerusalem, or as it might be in a church in Africa or a church in some other country. But it's still a work of the church. And if we become aware of needs that are not being met, people who are not able to feed themselves, clothe themselves, or provide shelter for themselves, then that church or that work is a work of the church collectively. And so we wanted to make sure. And then also widows in the congregation who don't have anyone to help them or take care of them in their family. Sometimes widows are widows indeed. Sometimes they don't even have any family members that are able to care for them. And so the church would be responsible for helping in that regard. So that's work that's already being managed and looked to. And so now there would be a deacon in charge of that so that the elders couldn't trust and know that that work was being managed. And then the idea of the building, property maintenance, all of those things are works of a church because we're providing a place for us to meet. And so property maintenance, building and structures, cleaning, interior, exterior repairs and so forth, the yard, hardscape, landscape, parking lot and driveway, that is a work that's already being done. And so now let's have a man who is acknowledged by the congregation as managing that work and reporting to the elders. And then the third area of work was what we called administration and logistics. And again, it has a lot to do with the assembling of ourselves together, of accounting for one another, of making sure that we know what's going on amongst ourselves in terms of the needs that exist, new converts, new members, directory, meetings of the men, minutes, visitors, duty roster, all of those types of things are administration and logistics that is already being done here. It has been getting done. And now we would have a man who we could trust and count on and who's identified to the congregation as being responsible to manage that. And so the elders can rest assured that that's being managed and that they don't have to divert their attention away from preaching and teaching and shepherding. And the man who's over that and managing that can go to brethren and ask for help, and the brethren know he's the point man. He's the one who's been asked to manage that. So you see God's wisdom being manifested in this, even though he didn't give us a lot of details on the work of a deacon, even though he didn't give us a lot of details on how to go about appointing them, God has made it clear that it's in his wisdom that these men be appointed to do the work that has been identified as in need of being done. And that deacon also would be involved then in security and safety, people in buildings, on property, the yearly run, hide, fight presentation. Again, key distribution. These are things that are already being done, but now we've identified that work and we're managing it, and people will be asked to serve in that regard. So what Daryl and I have done is we've said three men is what we think the work requires. There might be six or eight men in the congregation, or 10 men or 20 men that would be qualified, perhaps, under the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3. But we don't just appoint deacons to appoint deacons. We appoint them to manage a work. It's not a position of status. It's not a position of honor in the sense that that's why we want it. We don't want to be a deacon so that we can be honored. We want to be a deacon because there's work that needs to be done that God wants done. And so Daryl and I, as elders, as overseers of the congregation, have said, here's the work that's already being done. We've divided it up into these three categories. We'd like to have three men who are doing this work. And by the way, I'll put this up here as well. This is also an area of the work of the church. And this is the work of evangelism, primary work of the church. And so our evangelist would be the one who would be managing this primary work of the church under the oversight of the elders. And so you can see all of the things listed there. They're all having to do with evangelism in some way, shape, or form. And so that work is going on in this congregation and has been going on. And I've been managing that as an evangelist. And I've been under the oversight of the men. And now we have the oversight of elders. And so Daryl's my boss now. So I guess that's the way that works. Now the men, the church, I serve the church, not Daryl. But you get the point. So here's what we've decided to do. We've decided to recommend three men to you. This is not Daryl and me appointing three men. This is Daryl and me recommending three men to you. Men that we think will manage this work well. Men that we have observed are already doing this work. They've already been tested. They've been doing the work for years anyway. And so we're recommending these men to you. And your job is to decide whether or not you can support that recommendation. Can you support the recommendation that Daryl and I make? And if not, then have a reason and express that reason to us. We want to know. Because there's no way that we want to impose our will on this congregation. That's exactly the opposite of what we want. We're not to lord it over the flock. We don't just sit in the back room making decisions. We shepherd this group by receiving input, by respecting everybody's point of view, and by working toward a consensus. So we're going to recommend three men to you, but we want you to feel quite free to say, no, I think another man would be better in this particular work. We want you to feel free to do that if that's what you really think, if that's what you believe. And we want to know if you think, and by the way, that's why we're doing the qualifications next week, because we want you to evaluate these men on the basis of the qualifications that God has given. And if you find that these men are not qualified in some way, then we also need you to tell us that, that you're concerned about that. Because this is not us appointing these three men. This is you as a church agreeing to support whatever men we do appoint. And so it's very important. We wanted to get that point across to you. So Justin Keane, we're recommending to you, one who's already been doing this work for many years, managing Bible classes. All of this work has been done under the oversight of the men all these years, but now is being done under the oversight of the elders along with the men. And so, Justin, we're recommending to you to do this work of Bible classes and supported evangelists, just in a management standpoint. And then Aaron Wallstrom, we're recommending to you as one who's already been doing this work. Aaron's been heavily involved in benevolence needs. He's been heavily involved in property maintenance. And he's qualified in character and in ability to manage the work that he's already been doing for so many years. And then Bert Rogers, we're recommending to you, no surprise there, administration and logistics for Bert Rogers. That's his forte. And all these men, that what they're being asked to do, they've already been doing because that's their forte. That's what they do well. And they've already proven themselves to manage these things very well. So we're recommending Justin and Aaron and Bert to you to serve as deacons. And after a certain amount of time, after next week's preaching on qualifications, we'd like to have a week or so for you to be able to give input and feedback back on that and raise any objections or any concerns. And then we'll, if there are none, then we will appoint these three men as deacons. So, come full circle back to the idea of the wisdom of God. This is God's wisdom. We don't do anything in this congregation, by the way, that isn't by the authority of Jesus Christ, the head of the church. It's very important that you recognize that the importance of that. Jesus is the builder of the church. He's the head of the church. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. If we want God to be with us, then we're going to have to submit to his authority in all things. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do what God would have us to do. We appointed elders a few months ago, and now we will be appointing deacons. And that's all in God's wisdom, according to his authority. And if you have any concerns about that, of course, we would like to hear them and study with you and make sure that we're doing everything by the authority of Jesus Christ. And so I thought we'd close with that slide. Not that we're going to look at all of those scriptures, but there's a song we sing, "Make Me a Servant." I don't know if we even have that in the book or not here, but I've sung that song many times. Make me a servant. And so all of us are servants of God. All of us are in a position of service and submission to God Almighty. And so appointing deacons doesn't make them servants and us not. It just puts them in a position of management where they can oversee and manage the work that's been assigned to them under the oversight of the elders and the church as a whole. So I appreciate your good attention this morning. Daryl, do you have anything to add this morning?
Some of the things that you pointed out, but there are two other men are involved in also, and we're certainly not trying to take that away, that you'll just be under the oversight of a deacon, but still, you still want Jim to do the duty, Robert.
Yeah, right, right. I'm glad you pointed that out, because I meant to make mention of that. This is management. This is not doing all the work. The work's already being done by many, many different people. And Justin's going to make sure that those people continue to do that work. And so is Bird and Aaron. Everybody that's working will continue to work. But they'll know who the point man is now at this point. They won't come to Daryl or to me with an issue about attendance or a duty roster. They'll go to Bird. And so that way the elders will not be dealing in areas aside from their primary function and work. Anything else? Okay. All right. Appreciate your good attention this morning. A little bit different type of lesson this morning than we're used to, but I think an important one.
And hopefully we've emphasized that all of this is according to the wisdom of God, because we do want God to be with us. And so, in closing then, maybe we should just ask this question this morning. Is there anybody here this morning who wants God to be with them, but they're not sure He is? Because if that's the case, then let's open up the Word of God and let's study and let's resolve that. And if there's anything that you would like to make known right now, please feel free to do so. We'll pray with you. We'll study with you, whatever your need may be.